For as long as societies have existed, we humans have constantly pushed the limits on designing and creating newer, bigger, and better buildings. But for all the jaw-dropping structures that we've actually erected, there are some megaprojects that, for better or worse, never made it off the drawing board. From colossal pyramids containing entire cemeteries to a skyscraper that literally hangs from space, here are the most insane megaprojects that were never built. The Great Pyramids of Giza are arguably the most famous pyramid-shaped constructs in the world. However, 200 years ago, another prodigious pyramid was almost erected that would have rivaled their fame. By the 1820s, London was the most populated city in the world, so unsurprisingly, space was tight. So tight, in fact, that even those in the city's burial grounds felt the squeeze. With coffins often being laid on top of one another in graves some 20 feet deep. Eventually, it got so bad that old cadavers were being discarded from their resting places just to make room for fresh ones. So, in the 1820s, architect Thomas Wilson proposed a sizable solution to solve London's corpse conundrum. He wanted to build the Metropolitan Sepulchre, better known as the London Death Pyramid. A 94-story high granite pyramid burial structure on Primrose Hill in North London. In all, the bizarre building would have stretched almost 1,000 feet into the London skyline, making it around the same height as the Shard, one of the tallest buildings in the UK today. Ugly as this stony cemetery would have looked, it definitely would have provided some respite to London's burial issue, because this thing would have housed up to 5 million bodies. The idea was to fill up the pyramid with around 40,000 bodies annually, meaning in just 125 years, London would be left with a defunct death pyramid full of corpses. Charming. On top of that, the height and opaque material of this superstructure would have undoubtedly blocked out sunlight for anyone unlucky enough to live near it. Unsustainable and ugly as this megaproject was, the London Death Pyramid would have also been costly, with construction estimated to be around £7 million at the time, which today is close to $1.2 billion. So you won't be surprised to hear that Wilson's wacky idea never became a reality. I mean, there may have been less space for the deceased, but at least London's iconic skyline doesn't contain millions of still decomposing corpses. Oh, you thought London's ludicrous inventions were finished at puzzling pyramids? Nope. Turns out that back in the day, there was a craze for designing questionable megaprojects in the city. In 1934, around 100 years after Wilson's pyramid proposal, the popular Science Monthly publication made designs for a megaproject that would have changed the face of England's capital city forever. The plan was to build an airport, but no ordinary airport. One that was situated right next to Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament. The structure would have stretched along the width of the River Thames and run from Westminster Bridge to Lambeth Bridge, making it about 1,000 feet wide and over 2,600 feet long. According to the project specifications, the airport would have also been high enough to accommodate the tallest ship's masts, making it roughly 75 feet tall, or about 5.5 stories. Propping up this megastructure were 8 pillars, which also contained elevators to transport passengers from the ground to terminals. While it's not documented exactly why Westminster City Airport didn't become a reality, it doesn't take a genius to see some serious problems with this proposal. First and foremost, having an airport literally feet away from Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament sounds like an expensive accident just waiting to happen. On top of that, airport runways should be at least 6,000 feet long, over double the distance of the proposed runway. So unless you enjoy the concept of a water landing, it's probably for the best that the plans for Westminster City Airport never took off. Turns out that the creative juices were really flowing in 1930s Europe. One year before the wacky Westminster City Airport idea, Frenchman Eugène Freycinet proposed a building that would have dominated the Parisian skyline. Picture a screw, now flip it upside down, and ta-da! You've got Freycinet's creation, known as the Phare du Monde. Well, sort of. It was also gigantic. The Phare du Monde would have been some 2,300 feet tall, making it over double the size of the Eiffel Tower. You're probably wondering what the artistic explanation for the spiraling screw design is, but I wouldn't think too hard. Turns out that the swirling shape of the Phare du Monde was simply designed to provide cars drivable access up the tower. Suitably, at the top of the structure, there would be parking space for 500 cars along with a restaurant. So essentially, this place was just a half-mile-high diner. Well, a diner with one heck of a view of Paris. Although I'm not too sure how easily my food would go down if I was looking down at a half-mile drop. Oh, and if you were driving back, you could forget about washing your food down with a nice cocktail. Steering down a swirling 2,300-foot descent probably isn't the best idea if your head's already in a spin. If the devilish design wasn't enough to put people off the Phare du Monde, the price certainly was. In all, it's believed that this tower would have cost around $2.5 million to build. By today's values, that raises to a more eye-watering $56 million. Bit expensive for a screw-shaped McDonald's, don't you think? Cruise ships offer people the perfect chance to relax in the sun, all while visiting some must-see destinations around the world. Sounds like heaven, right? But what about boarding a cruise ship, not for a quick getaway, but for life? Yeah, it doesn't seem so dreamy now, does it? But bizarre as it sounds, that's what American engineer Norman Nixon proposed in the late 1990s. He wanted to build the Freedom Ship, an utter beast of a boat. In all, this thing would have measured over 1.1 miles long. For reference, the Wonder of the Sea, the largest cruise ship ever made, is only about a fifth of the size of this megaship. And if it wasn't already chunky enough, the Freedom Ship would tower 25 stories high, and was even planned to feature an airport on its roof. Man, and I thought my upstairs neighbors were loud. All that space and the fact that this thing literally has an airport on its roof did mean that the Freedom Ship could accommodate up to 100,000 people. Plus, with schools, offices, a hospital, library, and even a duty-free shopping mall, the Freedom Ship was designed to have plenty to keep its thousands of citizens cared for and entertained. If that wasn't enough, passengers could simply look overboard and see the sights of the world. That's because the transportable town was designed to navigate around the globe every 2 or 3 years, spending the rest of its time docked on the ports of countries it was passing. Imagine that. One minute you're struggling to stay awake in school, the next you're looking at the Statue of Liberty. Obviously, such a mega project doesn't come without a mega cost. In 2002, estimated expenses for the Freedom Ship had risen to $11 billion. For some perspective, that's more than 8 times the amount it cost to build the Wonder of the Seas, currently the world's largest cruise ship. The painful price and doubts over the workability of a city ship with an airport on its roof have meant that the Freedom Ships never set sail. Do you hear that? That's the sound of all of us motion sickness sufferers breathing a huge sigh of relief. Considering that water covers 71% of the Earth's surface, it's no wonder that aqua-based megaprojects have inspired designers. One such ambitious architect by the name of Kevin Schopfer made grand plans for a soaring structure to be built off the banks of New Orleans back in 2009. The thinking was that because most of New Orleans is built below sea level and right next to the Mississippi River, something needed to be done to stop the city's flooding issues. The problem was so severe that after Hurricane Katrina, around 80% of the city was flooded. But instead of building on higher ground or improving the city's flood defenses, Schopfer had a rather more flamboyant solution. He designed the New Orleans Arcology Habitat, or NOAA. It's a 1,200 feet tall triangular framed megastructure designed to fuse architecture with sustainability. He planned the space to fit 40,000 inhabitants who'd reside in one of NOAA's 20,000 residential units or three hotels. Alongside that, there'd be space for a school system, healthcare facility, and even casinos. The building was also designed as a pedestrianized environment with some horizontal areas being fitted with electric train carriers while vertical commuters would travel up and down via a series of elevators. But the most impressive thing about NOAA isn't its fancy transportation, shops, or schools. It's the fact that this place was intended to be a floating city. A water-filled basin around 1,200 feet in diameter and 50 feet deep would be constructed on the banks of the Mississippi River. The foundation of NOAA would then float within the basin thanks to a multi-cavity hull at the base of the structure. So in case of flooding, this megaproject could rise above the water. If that wasn't disaster-proof enough, NOAA's open triangular frame would help the structure to dissipate hurling hurricane winds by allowing gusts to blow straight through the building. But despite the daring design and abilities of the building to withstand extreme weather, progress on the project has gone quiet for the last decade. While the exact reasons aren't known, it's assumed the costs of erecting and maintaining a giant floating triangular building are about as high as this structure is tall. Plus, the fact that this megaproject would only house around 10% of New Orleans' population doesn't exactly make it the most sustainable solution to the city's chaotic weather. So the answer to the NOAA is actually just a straight no. Not every never-built megaproject has looked sleek, stylish, and futuristic, though. Just under 100 years before the inception of Schopfer's idea, plans were being hatched to create a marvelously savage, soaring structure that would become a Russian skyline staple. Back in 1919, communism was a fresh and exciting ideology. One architect named Vladimir Totlin wanted to create something to commemorate the new dawn of communism in the heart of a modern-day St. Petersburg. He set out plans to design the modestly named Totlin Tower, a 1,300-foot-tall structure that would have acted as the headquarters and monument of the Comintern, a Soviet-controlled international organization that advocated for world communism. The design consisted of a contracting double helix that spiraled upwards, supported by a gigantic diagonal beam. Basically, this thing looked like the love child of the Eiffel Tower and a helter-skelter ride. Within this mental metal construct would be four glass geometric structures. Oh, and just in case that wasn't chaotic enough, they would all rotate at different speeds. The largest and lowest geometric construction was a cube, making just one revolution per year. This would be the place for Comintern meetings. Above that, a smaller pyramid, which revolved once per month, would host Comintern executive activities. The third structure was a cylinder rotating once per week, which would house the Comintern propaganda services like press, poster, and pamphlet designers. And last but not least, at the top of the tower was a small sphere that would be the base of the Comintern radio station, which made one revolution every day. Terrific as this tower may have looked in its final form, it was never likely to actually be constructed. Leon Trotsky, a famous Russian politician from the early 20th century, said that the Totlin Tower was impractical and romantic. In fact, the megaproject was so impractical and romantic that the estimated cost of constructing it would have bankrupted post-revolutionary Russia. Who could have expected that twist? If you thought Totlin Tower was an ambitious project, then get ready, because things only scale up from here. All the way back in 400 BCE, a Greek architect devised a plan to create a structure so big that it would have been the largest monument ever made. Dinocrates, the technical advisor and acquaintance of Alexander the Great, wanted to create something to recognize the stellar achievements of his great mate. His plan was to form a monument of Alexander the Great into Mount Athos. In his left hand would lie a city of 10,000 inhabitants, and in his right, a cup, which received all the water that rolled down the mountain. Sadly, Dinocrates didn't lay down any concrete plans for the monument, but based off historical descriptions and paintings, the sizable shrine is thought to have stretched up to the peak of Mount Athos. If that's the case, that would have made this mega monument over 6,500 feet tall. For some context, India's Statue of Unity is the tallest monument in the world today, and even that's less than a tenth of the potential height of Dinocrates' colossal carving idea. And considering that the Statue of Unity took over 3,000 workers, 57 months to complete, it's no surprise that Alexander the Great's monument never became more than an ambitious idea. On top of the crazy costs and almost endless manpower that would have been needed to make this thing work, Alexander himself opposed it. Turns out that the war hero was worried about how the city's 10,000 inhabitants would be able to sustain themselves in the absence of any crop fields. He's a better man than me. I'd approve a 6,000-foot monument dedicated to myself quicker than you can say, be amazed. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel very meaningful and personal. They focus on high-quality, unique items that are often handmade or created by independent artists, so everything feels extra thoughtful. I found this custom star map that shows the night sky from any date and immediately thought, yep, that's the one. It's beautifully designed, completely customizable, and perfect for my girlfriend who's obsessed with stargazing. Uncommon Goods truly has something for everyone, from parents and teens to foodies, sports fans, book lovers, and gardeners. Plus, they donate $1 to a nonprofit of your choice with every purchase, already giving back over $3.1 million. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/beamazed. That's uncommongoods.com/beamazed for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Fast forward to the slightly more modern year of 1784, and an equally elaborate monument was being planned for an influential figure. This time it wasn't for a war hero, but a revolutionary thinker. Architect Étienne-Louis Boulay was determined to honor the late Isaac Newton, the world-changing mathematician, physicist, and astronomer, with a grand cenotaph. But this wasn't any old cenotaph. No, Boulay made plans for a supersized sphere in which Newton's sarcophagus would be placed at the base. This spherical shrine was so big that its 500-foot height would have made it the loftiest structure in the world at the time, eclipsing the Strasbourg Cathedral and the Great Pyramids of Giza. Okay, but other than its super size, you might be wondering what's so impressive about this spherical structure. Well, while it looked wild on the outside, the plans for the inside of this thing were on another level. During the daytime, a number of holes painstakingly positioned in the sphere would create an accurate representation of the stars as sunlight seeped through them. And at night, the sphere would have been lit with a massive lamp and an armillary sphere, acting like an artificial sun. Majestic as this mega project looks, it was never really intended to be built. In fact, Boulay was often called a paper architect, someone who creates utopian fantasy projects that are never meant to be constructed. That's one heck of a fantasy. I mean, can you imagine how long it would take to construct a sphere that's 500 feet tall? Oh, and there's also the delicate issue of the price. While Boulay himself never disclosed the cost of the cenotaph, construction costs for this would have been astronomical. Yeah, I'll see myself out. Anyone who's seen The Simpsons movie or read Stephen King's Under the Dome will already be familiar with the prospect of a whole town becoming entrapped by a giant dome. But those plans weren't just confined to the world of fiction. Back in 1959, architect Buckminster Fuller proposed the utterly mystifying and aptly named Manhattan Dome. His plan was to place a giant 1.8-mile-wide dome made of wire-reinforced shatterproof glass from New York's 62nd Street all the way to 22nd Street. I guess the main question is, why entrap part of a city in a gigantic dome? And surprisingly, the answer wasn't because Fuller had completely lost the plot. Instead, he wanted to create a structure that could regulate the weather in Manhattan. Hypothetically, the inside of the dome would be kept at a moderate level, reducing cooling costs in summer and heating costs in winter. On top of that, this big bubble would prevent snow from forming within its case, and considering that New York City spent a staggering $92.3 million on removing snow from the streets in 2014, it may have been a sensible money-saving suggestion. But in the end, the Manhattan Dome would never be more than a wacky idea. There were concerns over the cost of constructing a near 2-mile-wide giant dome, and while Fuller never disclosed construction fees, he estimated that a fleet of 16 helicopters would fly segments of it into position. Unsurprisingly, that wouldn't come cheap, with a projected cost of $200 million, which clocks in at a whopping $2 billion by today's rates. If the painful price wasn't off-putting enough, it wasn't exactly clear how people could get in and out of the thing either. And with harmful car emissions rapidly clogging the dome's air up, leaving is something you'd probably want to do. Yeah, sorry Bucky, I think it's for the best that this mega project stays in the world of fiction. Around the same time that Buckminster Fuller's Manhattan Dome idea was being formulated, another architect was making plans to transform a different American city. This time, Chicago was the lucky location. Here, American architect Frank Lloyd Wright wanted to create the Illinois Sky City. If built, this mega project would have contained some 528 floors and been a whopping 5,680 feet high, making it over 1 mile tall. At the time of its proposal in the 1950s, the Empire State Building was the world's tallest construct at 1,472 feet, and yet Wright's beastly building would have been about 4 times higher. And that's just above ground. Underground, it would have used a taproot foundation structure with a reinforced concrete core some 500 feet deep to keep the building above steady. Cool as having a 1 mile tall building sounds, you've still got to get to the top somehow. You think walking up to your bedroom is hard work? Well, imagine having to climb 1 vertical mile's worth of stairs, which is roughly 3,700. Oh, I felt my legs go weak at the sound of that. But thankfully, Wright had a plan in place to stop any throbbing thighs. 76 atomic-powered elevators would be installed in the tower, capable of reaching 60 miles per hour speeds, allowing people to reach the top of the tower in just 1 minute. Aside from super speedy elevators, this soaring skyscraper would also have come equipped with parking for 15,000 cars and 100 helicopters, along with room for some 100,000 people. Basically, this place was a city within a building. But despite Wright's grand plans, the Illinois Sky City never made it off the canvas. There was just no site, no client, and no budget for such a soaring structure. I guess that Wright got this one wrong. Oh, I can just tell that all the anime fans are gonna go nuts for this next never-built mega project. Introducing the Xseed 4000, a stupendous skyscraper proposed by the Taisei Corporation in 1995. Their daring design was for a sea-based skyscraper to be built off the coast of Tokyo, Japan. But this wasn't any old building. Far from it. The size of the Xseed 4000 was so giant that it would even eclipse Mount Fuji in size. In all, the skyscraper would extend an insane 2.5 miles high and 3.7 miles wide. For some reference, that makes it almost 5 times the height of the Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the entire world. Unsurprisingly, such a mammoth-sized building would need a lot of construction materials. In total, the Xseed 4000 would have used up 3 million tons of steel, more than 428 times the amount of metal that went into the Eiffel Tower. For all that, it's estimated that the Xseed 4000 would fit up to 1 million people inside. For some context, you could place the entire population of Alaska in this building, and you'd still have room for 270,000 inhabitants. Considering that the Xseed 4000 would hold so many people, you'd think that the Taisei Corporation would build it on solid foundations. Yet the building's planned area of construction happened to be in the Pacific Ring of Fire, an area known for its scarily high levels of volcanic and seismic activity. Roughly 90% of the planet's earthquakes occur along this ravenous ring. So, you know, it's probably best to avoid building a humongous human-filled structure right on top of it. I mean, can you imagine being at the top of this thing whilst an earthquake rocks the building to its core? Scared ain't the word. Fortunately, it doesn't look like the XC-4000 has much chance of ever becoming a reality. On top of the risk of the structure being reduced to a pile of scrap metal, such a major construction effort would cost between $300 and $900 billion. And considering that the International Space Station at $150 billion is the most expensive construct ever made, it's fair to say that the XC-4000 is painfully priced. However, it's likely that this skyscraper was never actually intended to be built. Instead, many believe that the proposal was a scheme by the Taisei Corporation to earn them some recognition. Well, I guess it worked, because I've just spent 5 minutes telling you about one of their ideas.
You got me this time, Taisei.
Imposing as the XC-4000 looks, there's one mega project that makes the 2.5-mile-high super pyramid look as big as a chunk of Toblerone. The Analemma Tower, as it's called, was the concept of a 20-mile-high skyscraper that would hang suspended from a hair-raising height of more than 31,000 miles. Yep, I didn't stutter. You may be wondering what exactly you can hang a skyscraper from. Well, Cloud's Architecture Office, the company behind this idea, planned to suspend a skyscraper from an asteroid orbiting the Earth via super strong cables, leaving it floating over 11,000 feet above the ground. If that wasn't ridiculous enough, the asteroid would then be placed in eccentric geosynchronous orbit, essentially meaning that it would be constantly orbiting around the Earth. As a result, the building would travel in a figure-eight route, moving from New York to Peru and back every day. Oh, and that's all whilst the skyscraper is whirring around at 300 miles per hour. Yeah, something tells me this thing ain't exactly safe. The structure would be powered by solar panels located on the skyscraper above the atmosphere, in perfect position to absorb the sun's rays. Plus, a constant supply of water would be procured from clouds that surrounded the structure. Terrifying as this concept is, Cloud's architecture office planned for people to work and live in the Analemma Tower. In fact, there were even plans for shopping, dining, and working spaces on the bottom level. And towards the top of the tower, there'd be worship floors, a reliquary, and even a funerary. Okay, this is starting to sound more and more like an alien death cult. But getting enslaved by alien overlords isn't all that residents would need to watch out for. Currently, there aren't any materials robust enough to make a cable to support the tower. The toughest theoretical cables could only bear about 2/3 of the building's load. And if those snapped, you can imagine the carnage if this thing came crashing down to Earth. Both for the tower's residents and whatever city was unlucky enough to be below. Yet for all the safety concerns, the main hurdle for this project was all the obscene costs involved. First and foremost, the task of harnessing and repositioning an asteroid would be pretty pricey. NASA estimated that it would cost $1.25 billion to redirect a small asteroid. So you can imagine that lassoing a much larger space stone around the Earth's orbit isn't going to come cheap. And that's not even mentioning the cost of building the actual tower. At 20 miles high, the Analemma Tower would be almost 40 times the height of the Burj Khalifa. Presuming that construction would cost 40 times that of old Burj, the building of this megaproject would total at a tear-jerking $60 billion. And that's it built on the ground. Now, currently, a pound of material costs around $10,000 to fly into space because of the sheer amount of fuel, resources, and manpower required. Now, the Burj Khalifa, in all its concrete and glass glory, weighs a magnanimous 550,000 tons. So at 40 times the size, the Analemma is looking at a weight of some 22 million tons. Let's be lenient and say they decide to make it out of a more lightweight material. Let's take it down to 15 million tons. Okay, time for some math. To get it all into space, it would cost, let's see, $10,000 per pound. 2,000 pounds per ton. So that's, yep, 30 billion pounds. Holy mackerel, $300 trillion! There's literally only around $125 trillion worth of money on Earth presently. Safe to say that the Analemma Tower is destined to remain as one super expensive sci-fi fantasy. Well, which one of these imaginary mega projects did you find the most jaw-dropping? And which would you actually like to see built? Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll see you again next time you want to be amazed.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.